Hello, and welcome to my talk. This is C-Meta Programming for the Masses with CMOS, and I will present the CMOS project that aims to make coding in C more fun. Let's begin. So, what is CMOS? CMOS consists of two parts. One is an experimental metaprogramming language that is written C and the percent sign, but is spelled CMOS, meaning C with mods. This is a metaprogramming language that supports both C-specific and generic metaprogramming, and that has a context-dependent syntax with statement-like and function-like keywords. The other part is CMOS, written like that, which is an interpreter or preprocessor for the CMOS language. It is written in C99 and CMOS itself, and employs a Flex Bison parser. It is released under the GPLv3 license and runs under POSIX. I have tested it under Linux and macOS, but I guess it also runs under Windows with Cygwin or similar things. This project has been over 3 years in development, mostly during my free time, but I find it fun and useful, and I hope you do too. So let's go to the first example to see how CMOS looks like. Here we have three keywords in yellow, we have a comment until the end of line, we have a snippet to define a piece of code where we will replace arguments and that we will insert at some other location with the recall keyword that we have in the last line. So here we're going to recall this snippet three times with different arguments so that the result will be this. We have three different function calls with different arguments. Now, for the second example, we're going to do something a little bit more complex. We have defined a snippet, this time with four arguments, and then we have defined a table. Tables are one of the main features of the CMOS language, which allow you to store static data that can then be used to map snippets and replace the arguments from the values in the table. So with the map keyword, we are going to take each one of these columns as the different arguments to the snippet, and then for each row, we're going to execute a recall. So let's see how that looks. Here we have the three recalls, and each one of them has the values from the table. Because we're dealing with verbatim text, we are going to use the here string syntax here to specify exactly what text we want to be substituted in the snippet, so that in the end, this is the result. We have three different function calls for the three greetings with different arguments. Now, before going further, let's explain a little bit how CMOS works. So, the input file is parsed, and each CMOS keyword will get evaluated eagerly. That means that as soon as the keyword is recognized as such by the parser, with all its arguments and the right form, it will be executed and some output will be generated in a temporary file, which, after all the input is parsed, will become the next input file in a parsing loop that will end until there are no more CMOS keywords in the input or the evaluation limit is reached. Now, some features of the parsing are that any non-CMOS code will be passed through verbatim, which means we can insert at some point in the code some CMOS keyword to do something and then leave the rest of the code as is. Another feature is that valid UTF-8 text will be passed through verbatim because we're using an 8-bit transparent scanner. The UTF-8 text will not be interpreted or will not be understood as such, but because the bytes are passed through, it will end up in the final file in the same way as it was in the input. Another thing is that parsing is sensitive to spacing in some places, for example in snippets, and that individual parsing passes can be inspected for debugging or just knowing how things are working in the different parsing passes. So, after this short explanation, let's proceed with more examples. Here, we're going to define a table that has the name nice folks with backticks in what we call a string identifier that allows us to be more descriptive in the naming of the objects. And here we have five columns in this table. And then we're going to use the map keyword again, but this time we're providing an option to this keyword with the square brackets and this option is sort equal ones, which means that the table will be sorted using the column with index 1, which is a name because it's zero based, and then the values will be used in this sorted order. The second new thing we do with this map is that the code we are providing in place and not defining a snippet before. This is what we call a lambda snippet, and we're going to replace the arguments coming from the names of the columns in the table. So the next parsing pass for this goes like this. We generate three function calls, but here we have in this second parsing pass, we have CMOD keywords, which will be evaluated, of course. Here we have the string comparison keyword that will generate the third or fourth arguments, depending on whether the first and second are equal or not. So the last pass in this parsing will give us three different function calls with different numbers of arguments based on the data that we had in the table in the beginning, so that we end up with three greetings, hi CMOD, howdy Fossum, and hello world. The fourth example will use more complex features, such as table JSON, that will allow us to define the table instead of as tab-separated values using the JSON format as an array of string arrays, where each one corresponds to one row in the table. Then we're going to use this shorthand keyword, the mod at, that will delay the expansion of the percent sign until another parsing pass, and that will allow us to determine the order of evaluation of the keywords, because we don't have a syntax tree being built, but rather when we find a keyword, it will be evaluated at that moment, so that if we want to nest keywords, we will have to delay the outermost ones, so that the innermost gets evaluated first. That's the case here, and we have two map keywords that will generate lists of strings, comma separated. So let's look at that. In this second pass, we have this lists of strings that get wrapped in double quotes, and then we have this modpipe keyword that will allow us to pipe some text into a command and then receive the output. So here we have composed some Python 3 code that will get interpreted by the Python 3 command, and then we will get the output from that, and that will be inserted into the text file. So in the next pass, we have exactly that, and we end up with the string gsub keyword that will replace all instances of pods with printf in this here string that was built from the output from Python, so that in the end, we end up with three printf statements. This modpipe feature is very powerful because it allows us to output any text into any command, then receive the output of that command and continue processing that in the following parsing passes. Now, let's look here quickly at the list of all generic CMOD keywords. You can look at this better in the slides. And this is the second part of that list. So now let's go to an example that is more specific to C. We are going to define a struct and helper functions from data stored in a table. So if we have the fields of the struct with their type, name, initial value, how to copy them and how to free them, then we can use this information with some map keywords to define everything. So here we declare the struct with all the fields. Then we define the constructor setting the initial values. We define the copy function that maps generates snippets, temporary snippets, to effect the code that we provided in the table to copy these values using the fields from the original and the new structs. And then we have the destructor that does the similar thing to free those fields that require freeing, and also initializes all the fields to their initial values. So in the end, we end up with this C code that does all of this, and that is based on the data stored in the table. Now, as a final example, we will use one of the C-specific CMOD keywords that already know a bit of the logic of C, and that will allow us to do things in a simple manner. For example, here we will define a C function with named arguments using the old trick of encapsulating them within a struct and then using designated initializers. But here we just have to do these proto keywords to define the prototype, which will already inform CMOD of the arguments of this function. We have the def keyword to emit the signature of the definition of the keyword without us having to write it again. And then in the user code, we will be able to call this function with named arguments. So the CMOD code gets evaluated to the following. So we have the struct with all the arguments to the function. We have the function declaration. We have a macro that shadows the function and allows us to use a compound initializer to provide the named arguments. And then we have the function definition that has as its only argument this struct that we called argv. And then finally in the user code, you will be able to just call it like that. So once again, here is a full table of C-specific CMOD keywords that you can look better in the slides. And that work also because we have a built-in partial C parser in CMOD to handle the declarators and compound initializers. Now, beyond the keywords, we also have a CMOD standard library written in CMOD itself, and that aims to provide convenience in performing common tasks or defining data types, and is entirely optional. These are the modules that I have implemented so far. I use them mostly to program the CMOD interpreter itself, but you can use them for anything else as well, or don't use them at all if you don't like them. Now, you must be wondering, after all of this, why CMOD? Well, the answer is that I love programming in C, C99 to be precise, but coding in it can get tedious sometimes. I think the simplicity of C means that the burden is on the programmer, but also the power, and so CMOD is an attempt to make the C programmer's life easier and more fun. So the pros are that metaprogramming opens up a whole new universe of possibilities, and that the generated code is fully inspectable and checked by the compiler, so it's still C. We're not proposing a completely different programming language. We're just providing a language that will let us generate C code in an easy manner so that we can still code in C, but do it in a way that is easier and more fun. Of course, there are some cons, such as having an additional step in the compilation pipeline and a possible additional source of bugs. So the aims of CMOD, which I cannot say have been achieved already, but is what it aims to do, is all of these, to avoid code duplication, to reuse data across locations, be quick and easy in performing common tasks, writing better code in a way, more concise, more expressive, while hiding nothing from the programmer, allowing to handle things in uniform manner through metaprogramming, which will make also extensibility easier in some code, and also trying to keep things simple, all while being true to the spirit of C, which is to trust the programmer and don't prevent the programmer from doing what needs to be done. So this is it. Thank you very much. If you like this project, then please contribute to it or donate something. But most of all, have fun using it, as I do. Thank you very much.